Welcome to the Straight Talk on Fleet podcast with Aaron Gilchrist. Each week, Aaron will be breaking down fleet management, trying to cut through the noise and get down to the real issues safety and operations leaders are struggling with every day. The goal will be to get to the bottom of how leaders can break down these silos of information, accelerate change management, how to use real-time, accurate data to drive massive efficiencies across fleet-focused business processes, and to elevate people's careers with emerging best practices. Now it's time for the Straight Talk on Fleet.
Hey, hello again, fleet community. It's great to see everyone. We're back for another episode. And I think that this is the 44th episode of the Straight Talk on Fleet podcast. So just amazing. I'm Aaron Gilchrist. I'm the VP of Fleet Evangelism at IntelliShift. Fancy title. But what that means is, based on my many years of experience as a fleet leader, I get to help build this community where fleet pros like us can learn and share and elevate our careers together. So today's no exception. We have a great guest with us today. This is Scott Tucker, who serves as the manager of operations process at Perrico Gas. Plus, Scott is a member of IntelliShift's customer advisory board. So welcome, Scott. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. We're going to have a great time talking about all the fun things that Scott gets to work on. So for those of you who don't know, Perrico Gas is part of the Perrico Energy family of companies, and it's a family-owned company with over 50 years of experience in commercial and residential propane delivery. So big responsibility running a fleet that does that. So again, welcome to Scott. Scott, introduce yourself probably better than I did, and tell us a little bit about your role at Perrico, and then a little bit about the makeup of your fleet.
Sure. So I've been with Perrico about 11 years. I just turned my 11-year anniversary. My role over the years has varied. I've always been on the logistics and the transportation side. I came from another company as a transportation supervisor. Currently, as the process manager, I work with our two separate management styles, right? So we have field operations, which is our driving staff that's in the field, service techs that are in the field. And then we have our centralized operations, which is our dispatching teams, our routing teams, our service teams, all the internal office teams. We share IntelliShift across all those teams, right? The field service team, we use most of the platform to manage where the drivers are, the safety initiatives that we have. And on the centralized operations team, it is our main way that GPS know where our driving staff is, look for landmarks, have them, you know, in and out of different zones, be able to call stops out to them throughout the day. Perrico's fleet is, it's pretty vast, right? We have a mix of multiple vehicles. Currently, we have 286 vehicles with IntelliShift in them. 268 of them have the AI camera systems. And it's a mixed fleet. We run transport with tractor trailer, doing bulk liquid loads from rail yards to our plants. We do our own dry box loads with our refurbished cylinder business, right? And we do some flatbed loads where we move larger residential tanks back and forth between our refurbished plant and our local offices. From a residential commercial delivery, right, delivered to a customer, we run a pretty vast fleet of bobtails, varying sizes. We also run a, I'd say, 30 rack trucks and beverage side loaders. We have a pretty extensive cylinder business where we do lift gas for forklifts, but we also have a very large barbecue exchange business. And then you work your way down from there. So because we are for full service, we provide service techs. We actually now have our own HVAC company. So we have one tons with small cranes, service bodies, all the way down to the new style vans. Like non-commercial, but vans for the service appointments and techs. And so we have a lot of stuff on the road, over six states.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot to manage. And I know fleet leaders that are listening are like, okay, some are listening with very mixed fleets. Some are running sedan fleets. In my past, I had a pretty mixed fleet as well. It's a lot to keep your finger on the pulse. But I think it also is fun and interesting. So I hope you agree.
Yes. Yeah.
That's good.
It's just busy. And it actually gives us an opportunity that we, you know, we use IntelliShift extensively and multiple platforms within it, right? Because the fleet varies so much. My transport fleet, we use the electronic logging. In fact, we're meeting tomorrow on a new initiative with that. Because the remainder of my business is usually short haul. We don't need electronic logging, but we track their movements because we go in and out of both residential and commercial areas. We do deliver to the 5 boroughs within New York City.
That's tough.
Yeah, that's a challenge. I mean, because you take a large truck in an area that is just super congested, right? That's generally our rack trucks and our beverage trucks. So you're averaging, you know, a 16 to a 20 foot body on a commercial chassis and then just trying to get it through the traffic and the congestion. So,
yeah. And then just having like so many other operators, commercially and the general public operating around you, trying to find places to park. We have a lot of customers in that area and it's a huge challenge, which I think is an awesome way to kind of segue into this next question. So thinking about what you guys do and some of your organizational goals, I'm guessing since, you know, this service delivery part is so important, talk a little bit about, I can sort of picture how the fleet helps the organization meet those goals, but I think that comes down to really safe operation and service delivery. So let's talk a little bit about your safety journey at Perrico. So what sort of led you to this point where, okay, we need to know where people are and where they're operating and in and out of different zones and yards, but how do you go from that to, hey, we need to build our safety tech stack and implement cameras? Talk a little bit about that journey.
So we utilized, right, all the way back to when it was VTS. So we, over the years, have built out our driver scorecard, right? Slowly picking off the low fruit, right? We maintained our speed control. We maintained our hard braking. And as we have progressed, right? Accidents are a big challenge for any commercial fleet. And so is getting insurance coverage. So I would probably say most of the people that are listening, right? Are now seeing the challenges where your insurance companies really are pushing, if not requiring, the camera systems in the trucks. I think it's a good way to follow into the future. With so many people and so much automation, even in the field, like smart cars and things, challenges that we're not used to dealing with, having the camera system gives us just that much more credibility to our safety program. But for us, the big push was the last couple of years with the insurance, right? We had some high liability, right? Because again, all over the Northeast, doesn't matter, right? I could be traveling down a one lane dirt road one day up in upstate New York, and then, you know, the next day we're looking at a driver who is on Staten Island going from hardware store to hardware store trying to make deliveries, right? So there's a lot of public interaction with our fleet, and you have to look out for your staff, right? So for us, it's important with the drivers to get them to buy into this as a way of that we're protecting them, right? And then the secondary to us is we're trying to protect the general public, right? We haul hazardous materials, right? So you see news is sensationalized every time there's a vehicle that rolls over or catches on fire, right? It's oh my God, it was this kind of material in it, right? And they look to almost villainize the delivery companies. So this helps us protect, you know, it protects the staff, it protects the company. And then, you know, the offshoot of that is then the general public is protected because we're much safer. We're more conscientious of what we're doing. We're not leaving our vehicles unattended, right? They're always monitored and we kind of always know where they are.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a great story. There's so many nuggets in there. I'm going to pick that apart a little bit and kind of deconstruct it. So, you know, I think we hear a lot about, we'll talk about insurance first. We hear a lot from our customers that their insurance companies are pushing for them to, you know, build their safety tech stack. And so that's one motivator. But I loved how you touched on that was just kind of a great way to get the organization thinking more holistically about driver safety. But then you add in these other things that help build driver buy-in. We always hear, if we do this, drivers are going to quit. They're not going to understand the value. But it's great that you've been able to exonerate drivers and show them that, you know, hey, we are protecting you. We want you to get home safe every day, but we also don't want you to be a target of someone who might be looking to get some bet metal paid for out there, especially in the five boroughs, right? And protecting them. That exoneration piece, we've heard from our customers like you that that's been a big selling point for the drivers. So we've had fleets just kind of implement with a few cameras to start, and then they have an exoneration case. And now every driver is begging, to have a camera in their vehicle. So, you know, I think that those are all good stories about driver adoption, but I think one big piece is, this idea of the coaching. You know, you put the tech in, you gather the data, but then you do have incidents. You have to coach drivers. So talk a little bit about, how that's gone for you guys, the driver coaching piece, outside of just them being excited about the exoneration stuff.
Sure. Over the last year and a half, as we've rolled out the camera systems, I've kind of been forefront in reviewing the videos. I think it is important to be able, I have no skin in the driver game, right? I don't manage the driving staff themselves directly, right? So we have a general manager, and then it works down. They have some regional supervisor or managers, area operations managers, and then they have supervisors that directly supervise the drivers. With the camera system, generally they're getting the alerts, right? They'll get an alert for the phone usage. They'll get alerts on driver distraction. So we've really tuned what they get daily when the incident happens. And the secondary look, right? They'll get it. They'll ask some questions. But my secondary look puts a single lens on it, right? So then I look at it and it kind of takes the personal connection, right, between the manager and the drivers out of it. And then we work together, and then they generally coach them. We have some very direct corrective action plans that we'll use, right? If it's a verbal, if it's a one-time thing, right, we still document everything. You just need that case history, right? Perico just recently with our driving staff, and we're working on it with our service tech staff, right? We've brought our salaries in line with the national average. And that was a big jump for the drivers. But with that comes the responsibility of being able to follow our processes and operate safely, right? So that's how we preface it, right? We work with them. Hey, you're entitled to a very healthy salary working for us. But we do ask that, you know, you operate, you help us reduce our accident costs, and you respect, you know, not only just the law, like the law is the baseline for us, right? We
absolutely
do not operate your cell phone, right? And that stuff during the operation of the vehicle. And then we kind of work up from there. Like, some of the laws can be vague. Like, are you drinking while you're going down the road, right? Are you having coffee? Like, if it's a repetitive and it causes, like, then we use that to kind of model what safe practices are.
So, yeah.
And I think the exoneration piece, like, it can't be discounted with the drivers. We've had at least 7 incidents since we've rolled the cameras out where we've been able to take the video and exonerate the driver. I mean, on a grander scale, right? Like, it wasn't just about a fender bender, right? It was something where, you know, either we lost the vehicle or the person that was involved lost the vehicle. But, you know, I see, you know, if you sit down and you watch TikTok or anything in the evening, you know, to unwind after work, you see the videos where people break check vehicles, right? They are looking for a payout. This protects us and the driving staff. So it really helped induce the guys buying in.
There's so many layers there. I love, like, you touched on the self-coaching piece. So the technology allows for the drivers to get alerted in the cab, like, you know, with an audible alert, but also with their scorecard, they can self-manage. Then you guys have layered on the level of coaching where there's a one-to-one. And then I love how you said, hey, I reduce some of the angst between the operations leader and the driver by, you know, reviewing those incidents where there are recurrences. It's kind of like a layered approach to driver coaching. And what I love about that is, you know, the drivers, it builds that self-awareness and they start to make those changes on their own. What I love about this idea of AI video is fleet managers think they're going to have to sit there and watch video after video, but really the way that it works is it's the eyes and ears for you. And it helps coach all of those drivers right in the cab. And then if things reoccur and you start to see patterns and trends, that's when you can step in and record some verbal coaching or some written documented coaching right in the system. So I love that approach. And it helps, I think, our listeners understand that it's easier than what, you know, it might seem to be able to keep your finger on the pulse of the safety piece. And then, of course, you're right about exoneration. You cannot discount that. And I think that really helps the drivers feel safe. Another thing you touched on, which I thought was great, was this idea of you expect them to do their job really well, their vocational work really well, but you also expect them to be that professional driver. But I think what's great about what you're doing is you're giving them tools to make it easier to be a professional driver, right? You're giving them that camera.
Yeah, the camera, again, it just puts that sense of ease, right? I have staff, and we use the panic alarm, right, in our own nature. We do a lot of residential deliveries, and, you know, there is times in the past that we've pulled up to a house, and maybe that customer, the UPS truck, was in the yard, right, or drove off their driveway and made ruts, right? And we would take the blame for some of that, right? Because, you know, some of our stuff is street pull, but on a rural delivery, we back into a lot of driveways. Guys will pull up, find ruts before, and they'll panic alarm them, right? And we'll save that video. We do it for roads that are blocked, right? We do a propane, right? It doesn't fit the mantra of non-emergency operation like some other businesses. So right. We drive in the snow. We drive in the inclement weather. We do a lot of generator work for residential and commercial business in these areas that don't have natural gas. And, you know, we'll record trees down across the driveway or road so that when we come back to that customer and we say, hey, we weren't able to get in, here is, you know, here is why. And we have the proof because a lot of these customers don't necessarily live at those houses either, right? We have a lot of summer homes or winter homes where they visit back and forth. And this just gives us an opportunity to kind of, it's just an extra bonus to having the system. And the guys have really embraced using it, right? Because, you know, nobody wants to take the blame for rutting up somebody's yard because generally our guys will go out and rake it out. And, you know, that's an extra task on them. And
that's such great service.
It's about being able to provide that to the customers. With this kind of business, it's all namesake and customer service, right? One bad review on a Google or a Yelp, you know, could lose us 5, 6, 7, or 20 customers in a neighborhood if we're not careful. So having that information, being able to help that customer and see what we see, it's tremendous.
It's so interesting. It's such a multi-layered approach that you're taking. You're starting with, you know, driver safety, service delivery, and really helping you get where you need to get on time and promising the kind of service. And then also on top of that, you're able to take, you know, some footage of situations that you may not have caused, or even just like you said, proving to the customer that you couldn't get there because there was some obstruction. It's such a great use of the technology, more so than we see some of our customers using it. I hope that we'll get to share this video with everyone so everyone can realize the full capabilities of having that recording function in the cab of the vehicle. Not only is it protecting the driver from things he or she might do that are unsafe, like inattention, but then the outward facing being able to do those recordings. And then another thing you touched on, which I really love, is, you know, we think about the environment that our drivers are driving in every single day. And it's no longer that they're just, you know, A to B, B to C, C to D. They are operating vehicles around people that are on doing everything but driving. So it's this idea right. that you talked a lot about protecting the public, which is, I think, the accountability that every organization should take who has a fleet. They should feel personally responsible for all the people that the drivers, that they're exposing their drivers to, right? And protecting all of them. But let's flip that script for a second, because your drivers are also out there and they have lives and they have families and they deserve to have a safe driving environment. And unfortunately, distracted driving numbers continue to climb at like an incredible pace. And if you look around as you're driving, people are doing everything but driving. So it's this idea that that outward facing camera can pick up on some of those erratic behaviors of that general public who you're trying to protect, and it can actually protect your driver from them, which is, for me, the number one selling point. If I'm hiring people, I think it's a driver retention tool. And I think it attracts people when you say, hey, we have tech that can protect you. We're going to put you out on the roads with all those crazies every day who are doing everything but driving. But guess what? We have technology that's going to protect you. So I think organizations just need to be more creative about the ways they're using the tech, like you guys are doing it in multifaceted ways, but also using that as a selling tool to attract talent. I just think that organizations are missing the boat. That's such a great opportunity. I think if they look at your model, they might realize that it's an easier sell than what they think. So it sounds like driver adoption has gone pretty well for you guys. Thinking about like the whole platform, right? So you're tracking vehicles from a lat longitude perspective. You know where they are. You understand vehicle operations based on the data that you're getting from, you know, the telematics device. You've got the camera. So you've got this stack. So talk a little bit about, you know, how that data coming into one platform is helpful for you and others in your organization.
So in my role, specifically where I am attached now with logistics and the business intelligence side, we live and die in data, right? Like it is very, if we can't prove it, there's no lying in data, right, to me. So what we basically do, and with this, with the single source platform of even IntelliShip, we do try to export some. We do have some reports that go into our business intelligence piece, but for the management team, that's an overall view. And then for the local management team, they're using the dashboards, right? We set up the dashboards. We've had the scorecard set up. It just, they can pop in, get a temperature for their operation, right? Because we have it broken up by regions. It's even saying we're in six states, it's a large footprint, right? Like at any given time up until last year, we were running to Maine, right? Just to do cylinder business. We've kind of reduced back, but we still go, you know, from Massachusetts, we will run all the way up in New Hampshire once we'll say a month, right? Just do it like a round robin route, drop things off. But you're doing a lot of, you need that temperature of what's going on out there on the road with them. So getting this all into one place is just extremely helpful. We recently, over the last couple of months, we did an API with IntelliShift, right? So that feeds into, we use Holman for our actual maintenance management, right? Because for us, they manage our invoicing and the payments and all that, and our vendors. So, but we took the telematics from IntelliShift, and that's what feeds into that, right? Because we want to know by the mile, like, How do we protect our vehicles from a repair perspective? It's again why I like hard braking and the oversteering reports, right? For us, hard braking, right? Are we running brakes out of trucks much quicker? Then that gives us the view. Not only are we looking at the camera view, but it's giving us a view of what the driver's actions while they're driving are. So we try to eliminate the hard braking. It the cost of brake pads and have a brake job done in a truck. Like we need to get a certain amount of miles out of a vehicle. And then we look at how does that affect the longevity of our vehicles, right? We're in the process of coming into a, we have a mixed fleet of lease and owned vehicles. We are shortening our lifespan on the vehicles over the next 6 years, right? We're going to go to a 6-year cycle and we're going to own our vehicles, right? And give us the opportunity to get the most out of the vehicle, still turn it over while it has value. But having that feedback from the telematics gives us an opportunity to say, hey, we need to look at what you're doing, right? Like you shouldn't be hard braking at every intersection and seeing those kind of challenges. So again, that's another opportunity for us to coach. I know when we were talking earlier, like coaching, a lot of companies are afraid to coach. We were one of them, right? Right now, finding good or very people who want to be commercial drivers is very difficult for us.
Oh yeah,
throw in the fact that some of our commercial So throw in the fact that some of them are technicians, right? They have CDLs, but they have to be able to do service work, right? It's not just about the delivery piece. It's a very tight group of people you're looking for. So I think the coaching gives us the opportunity and allows us to mentor some of these. Like we have some very young employees who are coming in, and then I have some very seasoned employees, right? Honestly, we have a driver who's retiring that's in his mid-70s, and he wants to work. Like he still wants to work, but winters are tough, and that's our mainstay of business for the mm-hmm. bulk business. And but he has encouraged and mentored these young guys because he does everything right. Right. I look to compare how the drivers operate. Right. Why can this driver get so much more done? Right. What is he skipping? What is he taking? Where's the shortcuts? Is he speeding? No. Right. I have a driver that can go out and do 46 stops every day, and I've ridden with him. Right. And I've GPSed him and I follow him in IntelliShift, and he does everything right. Well, he's the guy that I want to mentor these young guys. Some of these senior guys are like that. So I just think retaining or bringing in new talent is probably a challenge for all of us. But having the data here to back you up, like this is what we kind of expect before you even come on board. But in turn, right, we're going to provide you with a 5-year plan. Like that's how our salaries are working now with our staff, right? Here's your 5-year plan. At 5 years, if you do everything right, you know you're going to be making a certain amount of money. You have very good benefits. So we can offer all that to all these drivers and technicians that are coming in, because now we have the information that shows us if we take care of things and you follow the plan, we're able to provide that stuff to you.
It's an interesting approach because you're saying like, okay, you're using the data, you know, from inspections and maintenance, and you're talking about vehicle efficiency. But then I think the more interesting story for some of our listeners out there who, can really grasp this concept of, you know, how data from the vehicle feeds into this, you know, fleet intelligence platform to give those local leaders in those regions a quick snapshot of who hasn't done an inspection, what maintenance needs to be done. I have a driver that's out of whack who I probably need to talk to because they're speeding, whatever the case may be. It's that single point that they can go to get a quick snapshot and react and be proactive as well in their approach to the management. And then you guys can also use this data for fleet cycling, for trending and analytics. But I think what's also super cool that you mentioned is this data helping you to show drivers what's possible. You know, you've got this 70-year-old guy who, you know, can mentor these younger drivers coming in. And then I think the best thing that really rounds out the whole conversation and really helps our listeners wrap their head around how important it is to adopt this technology is that data helps drivers more easily do what they're supposed to do in their vocational work, because you take out the hard work of fleet management. I think if you give them that digital inspection tool to do the right kind of inspection in the morning, it feeds maintenance. They're not going to have unplanned breakdowns, right? They're going to be able to make those 46 stops like that guy can do without speeding and say, this is what's possible. We're giving you the tools and technology. You just need to show up and we're going to help you. And I think you guys are taking such an awesome approach to this holistic training, right? It's not just about what they have to do as a technician, but you're giving them the tools to be a professional driver, to help them maintain that vehicle so they can get to their customers, as well as be safe every day from the other drivers on the road and controlling what they're doing to say stay safe. So I think it's such a multi sort of faceted approach that you guys are taking and really using the tools and technology in so many different ways. It's exciting. So thinking about like your relationship with IntelliShift, it seems like it's grown over time. You've adopted new tools and tech. I love the way that you're using them. It gets me so excited to hear about, because as a fleet manager, that's like the ultimate place to be, is to really make the most of your tech, but more so your data. So talk about your experience with IntelliShift. How has that been? It does seem like it's morphed and grown, but just share a little bit about the overall experience with us.
So, IntelliShift, we will say that they are awesome, right? We've had a very good relationship. I have worked with multiple people over the years. Again, we started when it was VTS. We used it to route years ago, just as I was coming on board and before we went to a third party. But even when we left and went to a third party, we still integrated what we did every day with IntelliShift, because having this single device in a vehicle, or even having the ECM now and the camera, having a single device that is maintained and is all tied together just has such a great improvement for us. And we've continued to like add on, right? So we were just telematics or just tracking for years. And we rolled out the safety scorecard right away over afterwards. And then getting into the electronic logging for our transport fleet, right? That took that keeps us on a single platform, right? One of my specialties within Pericle, right, is to evaluate our different softwares. We use several different softwares. We've used more than that in the past, and we've kind of brought ourselves back. And some of them are integrated. Some of them are like our standalone, like our back office software for our delivery is kind of standalone, right? But we use it in conjunction with IntelliShift. Again, this is why our dispatch teams and our in both our service and our delivery are constantly on IntelliShift, right? And you guys have just been so helpful with putting new technology, and you're constantly building, right? So it's never never that we're never going to have anything. We talk regularly. I meet every other week with our account liaison, right? It's, to me, that's important. I do that with several of our vendors. I do belong to the advisory board. That was a big thing that we talked about with our liaison, right? I actually serve on some advisory boards for some of our other back office solutions. And when you guys had brought that up, I said, that's a great idea, because as a professional who uses your software, now I can work with other professionals to help steer the development, right? And if there's questions about where do we go next, you guys are asking us, right? And trying to figure that piece out. We went from the cameras, from the electronic logs to the cameras. We did a little short stint with a different brand. Moved everything over to IntelliShift after we ran our trial. Went right into the inspection. Right, we were a key fob company for a few years. Right, because we want to see the guys in what trucks they're in. They're not always in the same trucks every day.
Sure.
And we want to be able to track that. Plus it would put their names on their map, so we knew exactly who was driving what. So from the key fob, right, we worked into the inspection piece. And the inspection piece is, we're probably 95% compliance as far as the staff. Again, 287 vehicles could be on the road at any given time. The majority of the staff logs in without an issue to do the inspections. I think one of the funny, you know, one of the things we say when a guy comes in and says, oh, I need tires. Like, I can't go out on the road today. I need tires. So tires don't go bald overnight. You're supposed to be inspecting your vehicle every day, right? Right. So, you know, that's a big piece. Like, if we all of a sudden start getting comments from the drivers where we've had to put a truck out of service, and it happens, you know, there's nothing more embarrassing than to have to put a truck out of service because the inspection's expired, right? That is one of our inspection topics. It is literally in there. You can't move on without it. I basically made my template from, we used the JJ Keller in the past. We made our template modeled right after that. You need to check it off. We tried to go to a single template, right? Because we have such a vast mix of vehicles. There are some vehicles that we don't even need by DOT, right? They're not overweight. They're not over 10,000 pounds. I don't need to do vehicle inspection on them, but I still have the drivers do it, right?
Well, so, that is best practice. And right. I hope everybody listening today hears that very thing. Inspections really drive the efficiency of your fleet. So I love that you're doing it even when it's not required by...
It makes the operation uniformed, right? Like, I don't need, like, oh, I'm in the van today, I don't need to do it. Nope, we take the thinking out of it. Do that because you came from your one ton and you went into the van for the day, you're still going to do the log. Plus, because we're spread out, that comes into a central location. So our fleet team can then see all the inspections. And then we know how effective we are in managing in the field, getting things serviced on time and timely, right? It gets us, we've seen multiple inspections and then now this truck broke down and we've lost the truck. Having a truck out of service, whether it's a service vehicle, a delivery vehicle, right? For us, it is drastic because we don't want to have a lot of, we don't have a lot of captivated spares, right? And because we're spread out,
just so captivated
much spare could be, you know, an hour to an hour and a half drive to pick up. So like, and
yeah, it just tanks your operation, you know.
We're limited in the, because it's such a mix, right? I can only have two or three captivated spares for our barbecue business, but my barbecue business has to go out every day, right? Because right. If I don't, then if I'm not filling cages, I'm not selling tanks, and we need, you know, that hurts our bottom line. So
yeah, it's the biggest statement you said there that stuck out to me as a fleet manager is we take the thinking out of it. Okay, so everyone's listening to this episode today. I want you to take a few things away. First off, thank you for, you know, your business, Scott. I love that we've been able to grow with you. I love the comments about working with not a vendor, but a partner who like grows with you. And as your organization grows and changes and morphs, that you have someone who is developing with and for you all along the way. So that's really fun. And then this idea for your organization is taking the thinking out of it, providing your drivers with great tools and tech so they can get out there and accomplish organizational goals every day and be safe and efficient doing that at the same time. So, so many great tidbits for our listeners today. Scott, thank you so much. I cannot thank you enough for your time. I am certain that people listening to this episode will learn a lot about all the different ways they can use tools, technology, and data in such unique and robust ways from the way that you're doing it as an operational excellence leader. Certainly, Perrico is lucky to have you. But thank you again for your time today. And for our listeners, you know, if you've liked what you've heard today, like, subscribe, wherever you find your content. And when I drop this episode, I'll put Scott and I's profiles out there if you have any questions. But again, as we like to say on the Straight Talk on Fleet, until next time, keep it real, keep it safe for fleet's sake. So thanks everybody for listening. And thank you, Scott, for being here.
Thanks for having me.